Me now to James chapter 3. Our text this morning is James 3, verses 13 to 18. James 3, 13 to 18. As we talk about real wisdom, God's Word explains it this way. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, we give thanks for your righteousness and pray that we would learn more about how to be peacemakers. And we do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I used to work for the smartest man in the world. At least that's what he told me. And he obviously was the smartest man in the world because he told me often. This was a guy who never shied from literally telling people that he was the smartest man in the world. Had his wife fooled too, because she would tell you often that her husband was the smartest man in the world. You know, it's easy to say such things. I could say that. Wouldn't take long to disprove it. It's tough to live up to such things. You know, to claim to be the smartest man in the world, you then have to live up to it. Well, he didn't. The business failed. And of course, I lost my job because he was my boss. His business failed because he wasn't quite as smart as he proclaimed to be. He didn't live up to his claims about himself. And that's what we have in the passage in front of us today. You see, both our conduct and our speech declare who we are and whose we are. Those who are truly wise have received a gift from heaven. So let's take a look at this morning. And first of all, look at right conduct. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. This is really a carryover from the previous sections on good speech and good conduct, isn't it? James has been teaching us about good works and what they mean and where they come from and what they prove. And he's also talking about loose lips, unwholesome talk, particularly in the church. And this is a follow-up on that. Brother James is still not writing about how to get saved. He's writing about how to act saved. He's teaching us what a Christian life looks like and sounds like. First he says, show wisdom. Are you wise? He asks. Who is wise and understanding among you? Do you have understanding? Well, there's a way to display that wisdom and that understanding. Show it by your good life. Your life lived in humility. That comes from wisdom. Again, it's well worth noticing the order of things here. I've been mentioning that as we go along in this epistle from James. The order of things is important. If you already have wisdom, you will act in a certain manner, doing good deeds in humility. You see, the wisdom's already there. You can't act on wisdom or act in wisdom that you don't have. We'll talk about that more in a few minutes, but let me assure you that the wisdom of which James is writing here is not the wisdom of the world. It's godly wisdom. In fact, Proverbs 10:23 teaches us the difference between the two. Worldly wisdom and the real wisdom that comes from God. It says there, a fool finds pleasure in evil conduct, but a man of understanding delights in wisdom. You see, a contrast is set up here. Two opposite polar concepts are brought forth. The opposite of wisdom is foolishness. Let me read that again. A fool finds pleasure in evil conduct, but a man of understanding delights in wisdom. Do you delight in wisdom? Do you delight in showing that wisdom and that understanding? Then you are the opposite of a fool. Show wisdom, James says. But he also says, don't show off wisdom. Verse 14 says this, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. In other words, James is saying that the Christian life is a no-boast zone. Even the ability to do good things, to do good works, is a God-given thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul asks some questions. 1 Corinthians 4:7. He asks, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? The answer to the first question, who makes you different, is Christ. He is the difference maker. Whatever we have that we consider worthy of boasting about, even our salvation, it's given to us. It's a gift. It came from God. And since this is the case, we have absolutely no reason to boast except of Jesus Christ, except in Jesus Christ. We can't boast about getting saved. We didn't do it. We can't boast about being His. We didn't create that. We didn't get salvation because of our hard work or our courage or our brains. We got it because God is gracious. Because God gives. What do you have that you did not receive? Paul asks. The answer is nothing. We receive everything. But then we need to ask the question, okay, fine, what does it mean to be wise? Well, as often is the case when we deal with a question like that, we're going to start with the negative. What does it mean to be not wise? Before we can answer the question what it means to be wise. And so we talk about something that I've called bogus wisdom. Picking up again at verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Now, knowledge of all sorts of things can be helpful in daily life. Sometimes it's necessary to know how to fix a toilet or use electronics or know the phone number of someone who does. In the case of the electronics, know somebody who's under 25. Those are helpful things, and we can know and understand such things. But it's not this everyday understanding of things that James is disparaging here as the wisdom of the world. Rather, it's destructive wisdom. Knowledge that can be used to destroy. It's a knowledge fueled by jealousy, by bitterness, by a spirit of contention and divisiveness. That's what James is writing about. That's bogus wisdom. And it has an ugly origin. Verse 15 again. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. And again, we're going to have the opposite, the contrast. But it is earthly. It is unspiritual. It is of the devil. James is pretty plain here. He says that kind of behavior is not from God. It does not flow from heaven. Rather, he specifies that this ungodly behavior is of the devil. It's demonic. When we see people acting in selfish, demeaning, bitter ways, we can identify the source. It didn't come from heaven. Interestingly, to me at least, the word which most Bibles translate unspiritual here is a word that is related to animal behavior. So when people who call themselves Christians act out of the wisdom of this world, they're acting like animals. So, this bogus wisdom has an ugly origin, and it's got an even uglier destination. Here we ask the question, what's in it for me? Is there something in this ungodly, worldly wisdom for me? Or, what's the point of this ugly wisdom? Verse 16 says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Disorder and evil practices come from ungodly, animalistic behavior. We turn your attention to Jude. The book of Jude, verses 17 to 19. Jude is writing about people who would mislead the flock. Godless people who yet would teach in the churches. Picking up at verse 17, we read, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit." There are those, there were in Jude's day, there are today, who desire to divide and conquer the church, following their own ungodly desires. There will be men in the church who want to bring chaos. It's their desire to have disorder, chaos, divided congregations of people who refer to themselves as God's people. They do not follow the Holy Spirit of God. They do not have the Holy Spirit of God. How do they mislead? With unwholesome talk, with gossip, with slander, the things about which James has been teaching us. With loose lips, they divide. They're fakers. They're phonies. They're pretenders. They're wannabes. They're in the church, but they are not of the church. They are not Christ's. They do not have the Holy Spirit. Watch out for them. We need to be careful, even within the congregations of the church, for those who would lead us astray. But let's turn to real wisdom. Verses 17 and 18, back in James chapter 3. "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." This is the exact opposite of that which we might call faux wisdom or destructive wisdom. Let me turn your attention again to the book of Proverbs. In chapter 2. And I recommend this chapter for your reading this week. Read the whole chapter, chapter 2 of Proverbs, and reflect on it. But right now I'm only going to read the first 6 verses. "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you cry out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Some of you may have read some of the works of Francis Schaeffer, maybe heard some of his lectures, or seen a movie or two that he was involved with. Francis Schaeffer was a great theologian of the 20th century, and he used to speak of something that he called true truth. He said people had so watered down the concept of truth, making it relative, that one had to use an adjective and call it true truth. While following in his footsteps, here we might speak of wise wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God, not from the world. And following the same pattern we did with bogus wisdom, we can look here and see the origin. It's a beautiful origin. Again in James chapter 3, verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. True wisdom, or wise wisdom, comes from heaven. That's its source. How can we identify the wisdom that comes from heaven? Well, can we look inside someone's mind and figure out what they're thinking and what are the origins of their thought? No, we can't. Although some think that they can. But we can see how they act. We can listen to how they speak. Often we can tell the natural origin of someone by their accent. I'm told that people in New England have accents. Distinctive accents. I'm told that people in down east Maine have even more distinctive accents than the rest of the Yankees in New England. When I went to the Navy, this is pretty much before accents were invented, a long time ago, but I was told that I had a New England accent. Didn't know there was such a thing because, of course, growing up, everybody spoke just the way I did. They all had cars. They had yards and things like that. But I took such a beating from people in the Navy over my accent, I stood in front of a mirror and spoke until I got rid of it. But you can tell where people are from, at least generally, by their accents. Our spiritual accent can be identified as well. Do we speak with purity? Do we speak with no deceit or hypocrisy? That's what James says it means to have wisdom that comes from heaven. That we speak with purity, without hypocrisy. What else? He asks, is our speech, meaning the living out of our lives, peace-loving? Do we seek peace? Is our lifestyle, meaning our speech, our accent, considerate? Well, didn't Paul teach us about being considerate as well? He compared our lives to that of Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2. He wrote in Philippians chapter 2, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Speaking with the accent of a Christian. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We should speak with the same accent that Jesus had and has, because he's still showing consideration for us as he whispers to God about his people. Those who are not peace-loving and considerate are people who are contentious. We are to be not contentious. We are to be seeking the good of others. James also says that our lives need to show that we are submissive to the will of God. Submissive to the leading of the leaders that he gives us. Are we showing fruit in our lives? Good fruit? Are we leaving in our wake peace? These are the tests of wise wisdom. When we look at someone, the outcome of their life, whether it be their actual verbal speech or the speech that comes from our seeing how they live, how they treat others, are we seeing that they are Christ's? We need to be able to see that. When people look at you, are they seeing Christ? When people hear you, are they hearing the accent of Christ? When you look in the mirror, do you see Christ? These are the ways in which we know the origins of wisdom. These are the things James writes, yet again, that are the signs of the reality of our faith. Not the gaining of our salvation, but the reality that it is there in our lives. Real wisdom, wise wisdom, has a beautiful origin. But it also has a beautiful destination. Verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Who are these peacemakers? The people who speak with the accent of wise wisdom. The people who are showing the fruit of Christianity, of salvation in their lives. Those who are wise according to God's will are peacemakers. They may have to deal with contention in their lives. In fact, they may have to be warlike at times as they seek peace. Let me read to you from Titus chapter 1. Titus 1, verses 10 to 16. For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced, because they are ruining whole households by teaching things that they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. Even one of their own prophets has said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, so that they will be sound in the faith and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. That sounds pretty contentious to me. You see, Paul is writing to his young protege, his intern, who now has a church of his own, and he's running across these people who don't have wise wisdom, who have the wisdom of the world, and who are trying to teach it in the church, and who have unwholesome talk as they teach things that they ought not to teach. Paul says, they need to be silenced. They need to be sharply rebuked. They are detestable. Paul is telling Titus, Paul is telling us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God that we need to stand firm for the faith. And that sometimes we need to contend for the faith. Now, like a broken record, I will say to you yet again, you can't contend for a faith you don't know anything about. Read your Bible. Study God's Word. Discuss God's Word. You can't understand a faith that you have no interaction with. But all this contention has a beautiful destination. The end result will be peace and righteousness. We turn back just a few pages to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Have you been trained in discipline? Have you been trained in God's righteousness? Then you will have a bumper crop of peace. God's peace. Heavenly peace and righteousness are the end result of godly behavior, godly speech, godly conduct. Not because we're earning points with God, but because we're living as He desires us to live, and we are showing our faith by our lives and encouraging one another. Let us encourage one another in wise wisdom. Let's look at one another and say, how can I serve my brother or my sister? This is the one area where I've always felt that Christian one-upsmanship is appropriate. You know one-upsmanship. I can do better than you. Mine is bigger than yours. Well, this is that one area where Christians can one-up one another. I can do more for you than you can do for me. Let's not deprive one another of the ability to serve us. Yankees like to do that. We stand on our own. We don't need help from anybody. I'm not about to receive anything from you. I'm tough. I'm self-sufficient. Actually, that's not true, because you aren't, no matter who you are. We aren't. We are not self-sufficient. We need Christ. And we need our brothers and sisters in the faith. Let them minister to you that both you and they may be blessed. And seek the good of others. Speak with a Christian accent, brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Our Father, you are the giver of all good things. We accept. We pray that you will help us as we seek to act like we are yours, act as though we are yours, act in a manner that you have prescribed. Speak with your accent. Father, we pray that you would help us to stand firm against the bogus wisdom of the world and grow in the wise wisdom which comes from you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.